Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Tuesday. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning 5 and Change. Joined, as always, on Tuesdays by Dwayne Long. Dwayne, there was no spring. There is only summer.
I'm not complaining. I'm sitting here watching my dogs eat right now. Can open the door and let them run in and out. World's a good place, especially now. Looks like we're going to have football.
It does look like we're going to have football. It's good football weather, although our Buckeyes are practicing indoors. Those of you who have been around saw that everybody arrived yesterday. We got a bunch of great pictures of guys walking into the dorms in masks with food and boxes of clothing and workout gear. We're not going to get a chance to look at them up close anytime soon. One thing to note, though, the idea of college football returning has gotten some serious traction. A proposed preseason calendar was going to be voted on by the powers that be. Voluntary workouts June 1st to the 25th. Mandatory workouts July 13th. Walkthroughs and meetings July 24th. And then preseason practices August 7th, 29 days before the first game. They'll be going for 20 hours per week. We're not going to spend a lot of time breaking this down. We are just thankful it's come back. The formality of this, getting it to the people who vote, is a major, major step. So we will have football. What it will look like for the fans, I don't think anyone has any idea right now. And we'll work that out as it goes. That's going to be an interesting topic in and of itself. But there will be football. Life will go on, which is wonderful. We will continue Dwayne's depth chart dance here after the break. Let's first cover something that's not that enjoyable. J.C. Latham, arguably the best left tackle prospect in the United States, a Wisconsin native via IMG in Florida, was thought to be a heavy Ohio State lean. The crystal balls reflected that. Unfortunately, as Steve Wolfong and others have told us through the Zoom recruiting process, Alabama has managed to turn J.C. Latham, and now appears the big left tackle will sign with the Crimson Tide. Your thoughts on the developments and what it will mean to the class to not have Latham in it?
Well, I mean, let's not sugarcoat it. Like you said, this kid, I don't know that it's a very short list. He's not the best left tackle prospect in this class. He's on the short list. I'm talking post-it note short list of guys who you would look at and try to pick one. So it's a blow. That's the thing that has been what we started with Jim Tressel. We got the recruiting back up to, you know, he shut down Ohio back when Ohio was really one of the more elite states for football talent. There's still talent coming out of the states, but not like it did in the Tressel era. Then we moved on to Urban Meyer, who decided the United States of America was his recruiting backyard. And then we've moved on, and Ryan Day is killing it. What it all comes back to is if you've got the raw materials, you're going to be better. And getting these elite guys coming in is very important. You got to have the best of the best coming in to be the best of the best. And that's what we've been doing here, going on, pushing on 20 years now. You know, so we got to just – let's not try to say, oh, no big deal. It's a big deal. It really is. Now, looking on that, that's just the reality. But the thing you have to look at, too, is – how well we've recruited recently at tackle. It's huge. If Jim Bowman was still running the offensive line recruiting, this would be devastating, because getting an elite tackle in here, he just wasn't getting it done often enough. And right now, we got him kind of stacked. We had the number one left tackle prospect in the country come in 2 years ago with Nicholas Petit-Frere. And you know, then we stacked up with some other guys. We got DeJuan Jones. DeJuan Jones played more often than Nicholas Petit-Frere. That's just a fact. We've got Paris Johnson in here who is, if you asked me to pick between he and J.C. Latham, I would just smile and say next. Because J.C. Latham is absolutely a monster prospect. But Paris Johnson, if you ask me to pick, I'm picking Paris Johnson, and I'm not going to think about it too hard. He's just that much better. Paris Johnson is, as I mean, when I'm looking at offensive linemen in the state of Ohio, he belongs right up there. I'd say, you know, you've obviously, everybody compares to Orlando Pace, but who's next on that list? I would probably put Paris Johnson in there. You know, and there's only one or two other names I'd even consider. So it isn't like it's the disaster it would have been the way we were recruiting. We weren't getting enough tackles in here. We've got Chrisman already for next year, and how underrated that kid is. I have a hard time reading stuff. But number 15 in the country, come on, man, did you watch this kid? That's just insane. So it isn't a disaster. It's just you want to keep stacking these elite guys, and here we're losing one. But another thing to put in here, it's June. Buckeye Nation, it's June. It isn't like we can't go find another one. You know, there's a lot of guys out there uncommitted. We could still go get another guy. May not be J.C. Latham quality, but we can still get another left tackle in here. And we're not exactly struggling for elite tackle prospects right now. So, you know, let's put it in perspective. Hate losing them. If we can get, I'd stay after them. I would stay after that kid till signing day. And that's just all there is to it. But still, let's put a few more kids on the board and you know, try to get another. Just because he's the top of the heap doesn't mean that we can't get another really outstanding tackle in here. So let's just move on.
It does seem like the depth chart at Ohio State was sold against his commitment here, and the fact that Evan Neal, a recent Crimson Tide tackle who also played at IMG, has thrived. It is interesting to note that left tackle is kind of the one spot left for Ohio State to have a guy get picked really high in the draft. Once that happens and Paris Johnson comes out, or Nick Petit-Frere, the light comes on, or even DeJuan Jones, that will help. It was quarterback, and then Dwayne handled that. Justin Fields and Joe Burrow in absentia have added to that as well. But it seems like left tackle is that last spot Ohio State needs to just kind of quarter the NFL futures market. We're going to take a quick break, be back, and do the defensive back depth chart.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back. The defensive back outlook went from yikes to, all right, we got something here, when Sean Wade decided to forego the NFL draft and come back. Any mock draft you see, he is going to challenge Jeff Okuda and Sean Springs to be the number 3 overall pick, the highest picked cornerback in the history of the NFL draft. I could see it happening. He is that good. So we know there's one starter at corner. Let's go with Sean Wade, and you can kind of explain his impact on the rest of the guys. We're going to go 2 cornerbacks, 2 safeties, and then a slot corner. And after that, maybe we'll have some bullet discussion. Take it away.
Okay, well, obviously, how many of us just went out and had a drink over Sean Wade coming back? I mean, I did a Naked John over it. That was just, you know, we needed to get him in here. Keeping him was massive. Because that meant a complete overhaul a complete overhaul of the defensive secondary, including the number five guy, your nickel. So him coming back is just – it gives us something that we can hang on to. We can, instead of putting our corners just, you know, deciding a bench corner or field corner, what we can do is say, you follow their best receiver all over the field.
That's an important point to make because they did not do a lot of that last year. Usually they were kind of left, right, Arnett, and Okuda. But in speaking to Randy Wade on the Bucknuts Almost Live podcast over the weekend about 10 days ago, he did say the plan is for Sean to move with the best player on the opposition. So that's something to look forward to as well.
Well, I wasn't aware of that, but that it makes perfect sense. You just do that. And because you got a bunch of guys with inexperience, that's a thing. Now, on the other side, you've got to look at Cameron Brown, who played more than any other backup. He really did. You know, we're not talking about him. He came here as a wide receiver. Here he is getting a lot of reps at cornerback. So that was a real surprise. So you've got to put him in, pencil him in at number one on the other side. Now, I got a feeling that might change. I've always believed in Seven Banks. Go back to comments I made about him coming out of high school. I thought we stole one with him. And so far, whenever he's been on the field, something happens. Something happens good. So I think he's got it. And Dan, I cannot leave Tyreek Johnson out of this. I can't. Tyreek Johnson is the same kind of athlete as Sean Wade. He may even be Jeff Okuda athletic. Yeah, I said that. He has never been asked to play a position. What the coach did, he's doing what was in the best interest of his football team, and that was put a unique athlete on the field and just let him run around and make plays. And that's what Tyreek Johnson has – it's what he did all through high school. Now, all of a sudden, he's got to come in. He's got to have his steps down. He's got to have his hips right. He's got to read. He's got to read the receiver as well as the play. He's got to do a lot of responsibilities now. He's got to stay home to play the run. He's being asked to really, you know, start over. Wipe the slate clean and start over as far as learning where to play. And that's what consistently comes back. I'm sure you've heard the same thing from your sources, that just the kid is just all over the place. He hasn't learned how to play cornerback yet. Let's give him some time. And I'm telling you, he's a unique talent. So I got to leave him in the cornerback mix. I think those are going to be the four corners. The three I mentioned here just now and Sean Wade, that'll be your two deep. They'll move them all over the field. And get those guys lined up, get them some more experience. You know, let's be honest about it. This is not going to surprise anybody that's listening to this, that defensive backfield, January 2021, when we look back on this season, if it's not the season we expected it to be, I think the smart money is on that the defensive backfield just, we lost too many guys, we got too much inexperience, and it showed.
Hard to dispute that. Imagine what it would have been like had Sean not come back. Who do you see starting at both safety spots?
Proctor played a lot of football last year, and he was one of the better one of the guys with the highest interceptions total last year. He always seemed to find the football, so I think we can put him in ink that he's going to be one safety. Who's going to be the other? I would take the field. I don't know who's going to be over there, Dan. It's just, for me, The most talented kid that is going to be in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center come August 7, is that when we're supposed to officially start? I don't think he's here yet. Lathan Ransom, I watched his film, and I remember last year at this time looking, I heard we were interested, and I looked up his film on the site, the 247 rankings. And I could not believe how far down the rankings he was. And then I looked at his offer list and I said, you know, when you're talking about underclassmen, you really have to focus on offer list more than rankings. I do anyway, but, you know, I usually make my own rankings. Ransom, I could not believe what I was seeing. Versus both the run and the pass, this kid is a five-star. And with what we have here right now, I believe that if he's not the starter early, he's going to be the starter eventually. He's got the full package. He can come up and play in the box if you need him to. Really, he attacks the run like a linebacker. He's got great ball skills when the ball's in the air. He's as complete a line a safety as we've had, you know, as far as just pure talent in a while. I mean, we are cornerback university. We're doing better with safeties. We, you know, Jordan Fuller got drafted. And we're better back there. And Malik Hooker is one of the, what, probably top five safeties in the league. This kid is right up there. He can do it all. And I'm looking at the depth chart. The guys that we had coming in from last year are probably going to get a much better shot. Who else do you put in there, Dan? I mean, we just don't have the numbers. We lost a couple of kids due to an off-the-field matter that I don't even want to mention their names, that one of them was definitely a safety. And he had a lot of experience, so he was probably going to get a real good shot. And the other was playing both corner and safety, mostly nickel and into safety more so than straight up cornerback. They're gone. We lost them too. So we don't exactly have the depth that we want at safety. You know, I like where we're going with the current class, but for this year, I don't know. Proctor and then pick one, and I think it's going to be Ransom is going to be the other starter. Like I said, if not at first, I think eventually he wins the job.
I don't think there's any question that Wade, Proctor, and Banks are going to be on the field all the time, and then we'll rotate the rest of the guys in there. I don't think that's actually as big of a deal as it might have been a few years ago with teams playing so much nickel and development of the bullet position, so I still think they're in great shape. We should all be very thankful that Sean Wade decided to return, because I do not think it would be realistic to have national championship dreams without him based on the roster. He is there, though. We'll be back next Tuesday. We are done with our depth chart previews. We're going to have to mix it up going forward. Have a good one, Bucklers.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.